Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Thank you so much, guys. Aren't young people amazing? Is it just me? But they are incredible, aren't they? Can we give it up for our young people? All the grade 7s through 25, you're absolutely amazing. We love that our young people are thriving in our church, that there's vision, and that this is their church as well. And we've just come out of Holiday Club, and you can see God moving with our young people, our kids, and just seeing incredible. I like that one of the young people said that he's like feels like a bouncy house. Anyone feel like a bouncy house sometimes? And that's just him being in the presence of God. We're so good. Well, we're excited to be together. I'm excited to share the word, and I pray that something in all of us will change this morning, that we'll walk out stronger, filled with faith and filled with the presence of God. Is that good? We're excited. Why don't you tell someone as you sit down, tell them, it's great sitting next to you. I always think Sundays go better if you're sitting next to the people you like. Hey, it's so good. Well, we're excited that you're here. This is your first time at Hope Family. We love that you're here. We love that you've come to spend time. We're a family and a church that just believes that God is who He says He is, and that He's building us, and that He's got great future for us. And we're so happy that you're here with us. I feel very blessed to be a part of this family. So much has changed. I got to join in 2014, the end of 2014. We're now in 2016, and so much has changed for me. And if you've been a part of this church, you'll know that God is moving. But not only that, we're blessed with the best senior pastors ever, hey? We've got our senior pastors, Paul and Marinette. They are next level. Marinette's here today. Can we give them all a hand? And Paul's at the moment, he's in Zambia. And you know, there's 6 new churches planted with that team. Incredible. And we know that they've spent a lot of time just praying and building. And so we appreciate you. We absolutely appreciate you. We love Seth and Nathan as well. Nathan was up here. Seth, I know, works hard as well and just loves God and loves church. And then we also have special Melise with us today. She's all the way from Cape Town. Can we give her a hand? Very special to have. Melise and Leah are Paul and Ronette's nieces, and I know Leah's probably at Kids Church, hey, enjoying that. Just been great to have them here. I'm excited about sharing the word, but let me introduce my family to you so you know, kind of know where I come from. This is my family right here, the tall, handsome boy. That's Zion. He's cute, and then Zola's super cute. They're going to be 14 like in 2 weeks' time, and Zion is very chill like me, relaxed, loves football. He's happy that England won last night. He stayed up for that, and then Zola is 14 going on 25. She's a young adult already. She's amazing. Great leadership in her that I believe, and God's doing something incredible in both of their lives. Thank you for church. And then my beautiful wife, Louise, she's my ginger ninja. She's the heart in my chocolate. She is, she's the lights when load shedding goes off. She's all of that. And we've been married for 28 years. We celebrated that this year. And God's been faithful to us, very kind to us. And if you're sitting next to your spouse, give him a hug, give him a squeeze. Tell them you love them or something. Well, God's been kind. We're doing It's United Weekend. It's United Sunday. And as we think about our young people, this is really not only to thank our church for investing in our young people and making room and making sure that they feel they're a part of this, but also we're looking forward to this conference now, and it's an invitation for you to be a part of it. First thing that you can do for United is continue to pray for our young people. What we're experiencing, there's a move of God among our young people, and we're excited about that escalating, for the flame to grow into this wildfire that God leads and takes into to every area of our community. Anyone with that? And so we want to invite you to pray for that. But also, if you feel like you want to invest some more, you can sponsor a young person. We would love for you to be a part of that. Everyone is registering for that today. So we've got 2 weeks for that. We want you to be a part of that. Have you ever been asked this question, why did you do that? Maybe you've asked yourself that question. Why did you do that? What were you thinking? Anyone ever feel like, what was going through your mind? I had a lot of that. My dad actually, I want to thank my dad for this. When I was younger, it used to frustrate me. But now I'm so grateful because he always used to say, why did you do that? Because I was doing some questionable things. I can name a few. One, me and my friends were playing with gunpowder. And I told my best friend, it'd be amazing if we light it. And so he made his younger brother light it and blew off his eyebrows. A few of those, I also used to play with catapults. Remember the catapults? We lived on an army base, and so what we would do is do the gun rage, pick up all the bullets, the shells, knock it closed, and then shoot each other with it. What were we thinking? And while we're living at the on the army base, my dad would get visits from the military police. My dad's like, what were you thinking? And sometimes, you know, when you're young, sometimes you're like, I thought it was a good idea at the time. I didn't know. And it's confusing. As older I've got, I've learned that there are reasons for things. Sometimes we don't understand, but there's a reason for it. And this morning, maybe you feel like that, like you've got questions. You've got lots of questions. And can I remind you that the answers are found in God. They found at the feet of Jesus. And that God doesn't only have the answers, but he is the answers. Can I get a good amen this morning? He is the answer. And so that's our church. That's really who we are as a church. That's who we are as a church. And I want to read from the scripture in Matthew. I want to talk about, I love the stories of Jesus. I love his life on earth. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it tells us in detail about who he was and what he said for us to do and the commands. And there's so much in it. And I love reading that. You know, we get to see how he was born in a manger. We get to see the promise of him coming and then how he grew up. We see him as, there's this moment where he gets lost. Or he's at the temple and his family thinks he's lost. And they find him there. And you see him growing up as a carpenter's boy and what that means. You get to see the pressure from his early day life, how Herod wanted to kill him and they moved to Egypt and comes back. And we pick up the story really where he starts his ministry. Before that, he goes into the desert. You know, he gets baptized first. And then he goes into the wilderness and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is like this preparation season for what's to come. And so I don't know what season you're in, but we get to see this in Jesus' life where there's different seasons, you know, like he's being prepared for ministry. And then he steps out on his own. And I love that. I said to Louisa, it's the first time I see this. It sounds like he's moving out of the house. Like he's moving, he's in the wilderness. Now he's moving out of the house. He's moving into public ministry. And so we pick up this verse. It says this, he left Nazareth, where he's from, and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And when I read that Zebulun and Naphtali, I was curious about where that actually is, where he was starting. And it says that this area was in the northern part of Israel, and it was where it was the like it was vulnerable. That's where they got attacked a lot as a nation. That's where they got infiltrated a lot of the nation. And so this area being quite mixed now, there was a lot of integration happening in the culture. And he starts his ministry in such a place. And I'm like, I'm so encouraged by that because there's different cultures there. There's a mixture of people that it's almost like he's saying like this message, not almost, he's saying that this, what I have is for everyone. It's for everyone. And I love that he starts there. In the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom has come near. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom has come near. If you look at all that Jesus taught, from that time all the way to the end, he's teaching about the kingdom. He's teaching about what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom. He's teaching about what this kingdom is not just near, another translation said that it's at hand, but it's drawing near. It's not just for today, but it's also for the future. And it's like, he sets this place, this hope, it's good news. But he says repent. And repent, what repent simply means is to turn. You're going one direction. The world was going in one direction. The state of humankind was going one direction. And repent means to turn. So we're turning from the direction of what we're going towards the kingdom. And it's actually so simple and so easy to understand, maybe a little bit harder to do. Turn from the way that you were thinking. Turn from the way that you were doing life. Turn from the way that you were spending your money. Turn from the way that you were doing relationships. Turn from the way you were ruling or giving instruction, but turn towards the kingdom. Repent. And I believe that that's who we are as a church. That's what we do as a church. Every Sunday, we're saying, hey, let's turn away from our, you know, the way that we're running our lives, and let's get perspective from the kingdom. We're doing that every Sunday. That's what we're doing every Sunday. Every time we meet as small groups, that's what we're doing. Every time we meet at youth, at United, at a holiday club, any, you name anything a part of our church, the way we're up in Zambia, that's what our senior pastor Paul and the team are doing right now. They're saying, turn, for the kingdom of God is near. There's a different way of doing. In fact, it's the best way. It's what we were created to do in the first place. The kingdom. It's good news. I love that they're up in Zambia right now. I'm excited. When you hear about the 6 new churches planted, over 100 people giving their lives to God, and it's people turning from where they're going to the kingdom of God. And the reason for that is because they're sharing this good news. That's what they're doing every single day. 3 years ago, Louise and I and the family got a chance to be a part of that team. And you think you know what it's going to be about, but actually, when you're there, you get to see it every single day. And what they would do is they would go into a village or go to an area and pray and plan, and then ask to come and share the good news. And it's rural Western Zambia, not a lot going on, except people there, and they're living their lives. And some of them never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus. And here we are, we're getting to share that. Most of you that are in here, you've given your life to God and you've stepped into following Jesus. You've turned from where you were going into the kingdom. And so would it be okay if I share the gospel with you this morning? Maybe some of you have forgotten the gospel. You forgot the why. You know, like, I'm doing this, I'm living this, but what was I thinking? I don't know. Maybe why? I need to answer a few questions. And so I want to remind you of what you're a part of, okay? So what they do is they'll go to a village and they will actually draw in the sand. I was so amazing because my kids at 10 years old got to share the gospel with people. They helped us with this. And they would draw circles. They would say, we're part of the kingdom of light. Actually, this kingdom is from Genesis all the way to Revelation in the Bible. God says, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he ruled, he reigned, and then he created a man and female, and there was no crying and no pain. It was perfect. It was Eden. And so we were created for that. And so this is the kingdom of God. So we'll then draw a circle just like that. I know you're amazed at my art, right? That's beauty. It's like top class art. It's going to win awards. So this is the kingdom of God. This is where God reigns. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, joy, goodness, self-control. All of that available there. All of that's there. That's where God is. And then Adam and Eve, they actually believed the lie. They didn't know who they were in God. There was a truth that was twisted, and they took it. They forgot what the truth was, and so sin entered the world because of that. And so this turns in, they get then kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and a separation from God. But then that's called the kingdom of darkness. Here we go, kingdom of darkness. And it comes with so much. It's because of sin. You know, our sin is we missed the mark, that we stepped out of the boundaries of what God meant for us to be. That's what sin is. And then it separates us from God. So you can see it in the Garden of Eden. You can see it in life right now, don't we? We like God is there, but we're separated because we're missing the mark. We're stepping outside of it. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a person on this earth that is innocent. We've stepped out of what God's idea is. So we separated. I'm going to read a few scriptures for us just to kind of give us context. The one is in Colossians 1:11-14. It says, we also pray And this is Paul writing to the church. He says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. 1 John 1:5-7 says this. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that good news? So that's what happened. Let's go back to the drawing. So kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light, separation. And then Jesus dies on the cross and he forgives our sins. He makes a way for us to, actually, this is what happens. He comes from heaven, he steps into earth, shows us how to live, shows us how to do everything. He teaches about the kingdom of God. He lays down his life for us, and that takes us, connects us back to the kingdom of heaven. So for those of us who have said to Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are now in the kingdom of light. Can you say a good amen? Amen. For those of us not, we have the ability and the invite this morning to step out of the kingdom of darkness and step into the kingdom of light. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross. One of the things that we have to be careful for is that we cannot be in both kingdoms. We have to choose one. We can't be in both kingdoms. And so, that's the choice we have to make. I want to read you a verse about the kingdom of God. It's been so helpful to me in my life. It's kind of simplified everything. I'm not a very, I don't think of myself as the most, you know, academic or I struggled in school quite a bit. But I'm so grateful for this verse because it puts it in plain language of like what comes first. Does anyone like the main thing to be the main thing? Like, you know, a lot going on, a lot of fluff, but you just want the main thing to be the main thing. And this is one of those verses, Matthew 6:33. It's a divine commandment. And it's for everyone. The NLT says it like this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The Message version says this. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And the Amplified says like, but first and most importantly, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you also. Charles H. Spurgeon says like this, you mind his business, and he will mind yours. To seek means to look, to pursue, to plan, to chase after, to go after it. It's not sitting down idly, but it's like a hunger. There's like a thirst in you to go off. When you're hungry, you don't wait back. You go look what's in the cupboard, right? Like you go seek, you go look. And if you can't find it in cupboard number one where the peanut butter is supposed to be, you go to the fridge because that might be something in there. You keep looking, you keep looking, you keep seeking. You don't stop to seek. And so the first thing that I want to encourage us is, actually I want to encourage us in two things. One, to seek first the kingdom. So seek first the kingdom. And then two, to seek his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and then seek his righteousness. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him, everything else. Everything else. Now we know that Jesus gave his followers and his disciples lots of instruction, gave them commands, ways to follow. And I encourage you to go read through the Gospels. It's so rich with how to live this life. But there's only one thing that is said for them to seek first, and that's the kingdom. And the kingdom is literally where God is king, where he reigns, where he has rulership over. And it's not just, it's how the kingdom governs, it's about relationships, it's about how you spend your money, it's where he's king. Louise and I had the privilege of traveling quite a bit when we were younger. We once spent 10 days in China, and I actually had to learn three Chinese phrases, and it took me like 4 days to learn just three phrases. But we were there, but when we landed at the airport, it said, no religious propaganda. And we were a Christian band, so we had to figure out how we're going to share Jesus with it. But the thing that stood out to me that culturally was so different how it worked there, they had 5 lanes of traffic. This is the 90s. This is like 99. 5 lanes of traffic going one way and 5 lanes of traffic going the other way. And the rule was, we were advised that you don't look, you have to just go. Because the rule is whoever sees first has to stop. So if you as a pedestrian see them first, you have to stop. If the cars see you first, you have to stop. Obviously, I didn't cross many roads at that time because that sounds too dangerous for me. Then we had an opportunity to be in the States, and we were there for 9 years. And I remember the first year, we went as a band. It was like 10 of us. And the first time, just trying to order food from a drive-thru was awkward because we're in South America. And they would say, Dion, can you order the food? So you know the little drive-thru that you go? I would have to run out of the car, go to the little speaker and go, can I have 5 burgers? And I would have to put on this American accent just for them to understand what we wanted. And then we moved to the UK and we were there for a while, also a different culture, trying to get used to it. Then we moved to South Africa, been away for 21 years, and I had to learn again how to do things. I remember we were running out of electricity, and I hadn't been for 21 years, and my dad said, we have to put electricity on. My dad said, you have to go to Pick and Pay. I said, we have to go to Pick and Pay to put electricity. That's new. I thought we only get our groceries from there. So it was new. Just like different countries have different laws and ways and customs of doing, the kingdom has different law, ways of doing things. And sometimes we think this is upside down, but this is actually what we were built for. You were built for this kingdom. And so I want to encourage you, seek first the kingdom of God. The Message says this in Romans 12, verse 2. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And maybe you're thinking right now, Dee, I know what you're saying. And I even know what the right thing to do. I've heard God say, do this. Or think like this, or move like this. And maybe you feel stuck this morning. When I was preparing for this, I really felt like God wanted to show you and lead you, like our theme, the Lord is my shepherd, lead you down a way, but not because you feel obligated, but because you're in a relationship with him and that you trust him. And I believe that God's gonna challenge you to put your whole weight and trust in him. But maybe you're stuck in a way of thinking. And you know, the way that we think, whether it's just a normal life or whether it's you're filled with anxiety or you're stuck in depression or you're stuck with healing or you're stuck financially or whatever it is, that God's able to lead us. Some of it takes time, some of it's quick. But he wants us to trust him. And so maybe you've been thinking a certain way for years and years, and you've been going down that route, you've been stepping into it, and you get in that space like, why do I think like this? Why? It's kind of like walking in a forest and you've been walking down, you know, a little bit enclosed, and you're just walking out, and it's so clear. It's like it's you know it's harmful for you, but it's actually the clearest way of thinking. You're so used to doing it. And Jesus teaches, he teaches turn. He says, turn, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. And I want to encourage you this morning, the way that you do this is to turn your back. You don't have to close this off. You don't have to fix this. You just trust Him and turn from it. And then what happens is this starts covering. Not because you've covered it, but because God allows it to be covered. It's because you're not walking down this way anymore. You've turned from it. You've put it behind you. And you just, God, I want to walk this. It takes time for that to cover. And then God, like when we step into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, we step into this open space. It's beautiful. But we haven't been down this route. So let's have a look at the next photo. It's open space, but there's the path's vague, you know, and the good shepherd is leading us through it. But you're feeling like there's a little bit of opposition, you know. It's new. It feels upside down. I struggle with forgiveness. I struggle how, God, you're calling me to forgive that person, but I don't know how. They say, just follow me. I've forgiven you, so you can do this. And the more you go down this route, the clearer it becomes. This becomes a new way of thinking, a new way of living your life in every single area. Not just one area, in every single area. A new way, the kingdom of heaven. Turn, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Seek first His kingdom. Seek it first. It's the first thing you do. The first thing above all else, God reality first. The second one is seek His righteousness. All that means is to be right with God, to be at right standing with Him, to be honest with Him. He already knows who you are. You know, the Bible says that it's not about good works. We can't earn this. You can't earn it by just being good. Bible says it's like our good works, our best works are like filthy rags before Him. Our righteousness and living right comes through Jesus. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's what cleanses us. That's what purifies us. Living honest. And this morning, I want to pray for a few people that might not be in the kingdom of light. You might be in the kingdom of darkness, or you might be straddled, or you're trying to do. But it's about remaining in the kingdom of light. It's putting His kingdom first. I would love to pray for you with that. And another thing is maybe you haven't put God first. And even now, you know you're at odds with Him. You know that you're not trusting Him. You're not following. Your back's towards you. You need to turn. I want to invite you to take that decision this morning. Can we all stand, please? I was 18 years old at a summer camp. An angry, confused, frustrated, lost young man. And I faked it with everyone else. But you know, you can't fake it with God. You can't fake it with Him. He sees everything. And I remember at 18 for the first time thinking, God, if you take my mess, because it's messy. It is messy. If you're willing to take this mess, I will seek you for the rest of my life. And God did. He took me. And He changed me from the inside out. And I'd love for you to say, for it was easy all the way. It took a while for the anger to go. It took a while for the habit of pretending to go. It took a while. But He renewed my mind. He renewed, and He's still doing it today. There's still moments, there's still days where it's like, God, I trust You. And I just believe that if He could do it for me, I know there's so many testimonies of God doing it in the room, but if you're struggling this morning, if you know that this is you, like, I just say, yes, God, I want this. I want to put You first. I want to put the kingdom first. I want to put the things that You've called me to do first, above everything. I know there's a lot of things wanting my attention and my affection, but I put You first. And I want to be right with You. Let's close our eyes. God, we thank you for your presence. God, I know that, like, we need you. Every single person in this room is in need of who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it calls us to life. You call us to open space. You call us to trust you in every single season. Pray your kingdom come. Your will be done in this room. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you've never given your life to God, just while every eye's closed and every head's bowed, if you've never stepped into a relationship, you're in the kingdom of darkness. You want to come into the kingdom of light. You want to give your life to God. You want to follow him for the rest of your life. If that's you, won't you put your hand up? I'd love to pray a prayer of salvation with you. Awesome. Seeing those hands. Anyone else want to join us this morning? Maybe you're far from God. You've walked away and you want to step into right relationship with him. Awesome. That's so good. I'm going to say a prayer, and if we all can just echo that prayer together. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're for me, not against me. God, thank you for the gift of salvation. God, I ask that you come into my life, that you change me from the inside out. I believe that what you've done, Jesus, gives me freedom, gives me salvation, and cleanses me from my sin. Thank you so much. Lead me for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. I just want to pray for just for all of us. Maybe your priorities have gone, like, just, it's all out of whack. You've misaligned. Like, the things of God you've put down way down on the list. Maybe it's even just your time with him, like reading the Bible, spending time with him, worshiping him. You started the year strong and said, hey, I want to spend time with God, but that's taken a back seat. Or maybe even the things of God, the steps that he's called you to take step. And just believe that God wants to strengthen you and breathe new life on that. If that's you, want to put your hand in your heart or put your hand out like this, and just as a sign of surrender. God, thank you that you give grace to the humble. Pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you just breathe life onto the next steps. God, the things that we've said that before in private and in public, we're going to do. Pray that right now, God, that you give the courage to step and obedience to step out and breathe life on those next steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Won't you take away shame? Won't you take away guilt? God, thank you that your mercy is on you every single morning, and that this new day and a new way, your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen, amen. God bless
you. Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.